the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to you, will teach you everything. 1962 to 1965 was an important year in our church. Do you remember what happened? That's right, the Vatican II, the Second Vatican Council. So it's what's known as the Ecumenical Council. And it was one of how many, what number council was it? That's as far as your knowledge stops, right? No, so anyone guess? Second? Oh, no. Huh? 16? 15? 16? No, it was actually 21st. The 21st Ecumenical Council. And what we hear in today's first reading is the conclusion of the first Ecumenical Council. We consider the first one. It's the only one recorded in Scripture. It's called the Council of Jerusalem. Now, if you look at that, it's roughly every 100 years the church holds a ecumenical council to solve some matter of disagreement inside the church, to develop the doctrine of the church. And when we often hear that, because we often hear how the doctrine never changes. We've always had it like as if it was some sort of concrete that was given to us and we never changed. And we can see here less than 20 years after Christ's death and resurrection, there was already some growth, some development of their understanding of the faith, what we call development of doctrine. And what occurs here is pretty important, and it's important to see how it happens and what do they do. So let's look at some of the way it happens. First of all, Paul and Barnabas, Paul, remember, Jesus was a Jew, and he ministered to Jews and witnessed to Jews. That was who he was. And so he came for the Jewish nation. Now, there was one or two converts with Cornelius, the Roman centurion that was a Gentile. But apart from a handful of people, Jesus came for the Jewish nation. It was only after he left, he directed, in particular, Paul, the apostle, to go out to, quote unquote, all nations. And Paul preaches to all nations and has thousands and thousands of converts of what we call Gentiles, which is anyone a non-Jew, right? Now, you'll notice that he's been baptizing and welcoming them into the church, but there's some discussion about this and that they should be circumcised first before they become. In other words, that they ought to become Jews first, then Christians. So they would become basically Jewish Christians. And Paul said that makes no sense at all. That it is Christ, he goes on to argue that it is Christ who saves us. And therefore circumcision, which would have been as an adult, would have been quite a dangerous surgery to have. And those days, he dispensed that and said, no, it wasn't necessary. But this was causing dissension and some struggle. So what did they do? Paul and Barnabas sends Silas and Barsabbas, otherwise known as Julius, off to Jerusalem to address the church, which was considered to be the center of where Peter was. And so Peter, who was arguing the other side, was saying, no, they have to become Jewish first. And Paul argues that, wait, hang on a second. Like, I listened, I got a message straight from Christ, and the gift of his Holy Spirit told me to go to preach to the Gentiles, and that's what I'm doing. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit, Peter? Peter's like, whoa, hang on a second. So Peter goes and he prays and he listens, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he says, no, Paul is right. So Peter comes along and says to the whole community, he says, what Paul is saying is right. And thus we have this declaration now in today's first letter that says, you people have been saying one thing or doing another. You no longer need to do this. Just, stick within the rules you can do. Don't eat only kosher food. Do some other things. And the end of it is this was given to us by the Holy Spirit. That's a very important last line. This wasn't just a command of Peter or a command of Paul or some sort of musings. They listened to the Holy Spirit and discerned what Christ was guiding them to do. And that's exactly what Jesus says in the gospel. He says, as I leave you, don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to leave you an advocate. I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit who will teach you everything that I have told, remind you of everything I've said, and teach you anew. So that is the Holy Spirit that we rely on today to guide us as a church. and to guide us as individuals. But that requires of us to be people of prayer who can hear and discern what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. If we're not men and women of prayer, then, well, it won't make any difference what the Holy Spirit is saying because we won't hear it. And we'll just do whatever we want to do. So there becomes a distinction. There becomes rub. It's not about just doing whatever is the latest in vogue. It's about listening to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our actions. Now, you'll notice what happened here. Paul was first doing the practice, and then it became doctrine. And that's what often happens. There's this tension between what happens first, the pastoral practice, and then eventually it gets recognized as doctrine of the church. And there's this tension between tradition and growing and developing tradition. Well, why do I say this? Well, because I think it's very important for us to understand that the church is always growing and responding to the times. And that we're called to always recognize the gift of the Holy Spirit calling us to go and beyond what we currently know. Go beyond our tradition. Recently we were down at Clergy Study Week and all the priests scattered. And one of the priests, Father Sadhu, gave this really impassionate homily about this distinction, this tension between tradition. Now, he said something that's very hard to hear, but it's challenging, and it's a powerful metaphor. He contrasted tradition with addiction. Ooh, it's hard to hear, isn't it? Tradition with addiction. And he said tradition is listening to the movement of the Holy Spirit to guiding us within the tradition of the church. Addiction is holding on to those vestiges of the past that guided the previous generation. And that we are married to them, refusing to let go or allow anything to move us. You see, what Father Sadhu was calling us to do was calling us to what Pope Francis is calling us to do. What is Pope Francis do? Pope Francis has gone back to this one immutable teaching of the church and of Christ is that of love. One thing that Jesus said over and over again and cannot be sort of developed is that he said, you must love one another as I have loved you. It was the singular commandment which was to guide the whole church. And Pope Francis takes this up and calls it the law of love or law of mercy. He says, this must guide us everywhere we go, is to have love and mercy. Now what he does, as in Pope Francis, he calls us to a culture of encounter. And our bishop just made this kind of his mandate for us in the next several years for us as a local church. So we're called to have a culture of vocations, a culture of encounter, and a culture of innovation. But a culture of encounter is what? It's to encounter Christ. And where does that happen? It happens for Pope Francis on the furthest peripheries of our society. And that we're called to be missionary disciples to go out to the furthest peripheries and to meet Christ there. Not to bring Christ, to meet Christ. The Christ is already there. The Holy Spirit's already got there way before we're ever there. What we do is name it and experience it anew. So I'm in this encounter in culture, this counter of encounter, this culture of what he calls culture of friendship. And why do we go out? Because they have the same dignity as us. They were made in the image and likeness of God. And that's what we're called to do. And so our call is to get out from our quite comfortable tradition of what we have and to go out to the furthest extremes, to the margins. To the homeless, to the wounded, the broken, the disenfranchised, the voiceless, the immigrants, the homeless, those who are broken by sometimes things that happen to them and some things, the bad choices they make. And our role, whether they are homeless, immigrants, or LGBTQ, is to go to meet Christ there with them and to listen and to love. And to bring that law of love with us. And if we're honest, that's hard work. Because it's much easier to be addicted to our tradition and do what we want than it is to go out to those peripheries. But that's the very reason we come to the table. We come to the table to be nourished by body and blood of Christ and to be nourished by so many other souls who are trying to do this. This discipleship of encounter. This culture of encounter. And so that's our role, is to listen to this Holy Spirit and to open up our hearts, not just as an institutional church, but to open up our hearts as disciples of Christ, to love as he has loved us. And where do we do it? On the peripheries, the furthest place away. And so that's hard. That causes a discomfort. But that is discipleship, is to go where the Spirit calls us to go. And each of us are going to go to different places because, well, we have different gifts and different talents. But we are all called to go. Staying is not an option. Our call is to action and to be that loving presence in our world. And it is there that Christ promises that we will encounter him. So today, for our part, let us come to be nourished by this body and blood of Christ. And as we welcome in a child into the church, let us know that we claim witness by our actions as well as our words, but mostly by our actions, to be a culture of encounter to the peripheries of society with the one law of God and of Christ, to love one another as he has loved us.